שלום חברים, ברוך הבא לכל מקשיבים. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi, קהילת המשיח בתוך ישראל. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My dear friends, I want to spread out before you a chronological carpet of conquest, 25 years long. It is a time strip of ancient history packed with purpose and possessed of pattern. I refer to the book bearing the illustrious name of Moses' successor, Joshua. Our fascinated scrutiny will scan with profit the quarter century from 1451 to 1426 before the Common Era, a period which may be said to have inaugurated the history of Israel as a nation. All prior to Israel's entry into Canaan had been preparatory to this great event, from the first Passover in Egypt to the defeat of the heathen kings Sion and Og. The chosen people were being poised and prepared by God to overthrow heathenism and kindle the beneficent beams of the kingdom of God on earth. The psalmist describes this divine act in picturesque language. Thou didst pluck up a vine out of Egypt. Thou didst drive out the nations and didst plant it. Thou didst clear a place before it, and it took deep root and filled the land. In the Hebrew canon of Scripture, the book of Joshua constitutes the first of four books designated the former prophets, the other three being Judges, Samuel, and Kings. This is an appropriate classification, for their contents are prophetic in character. Moses has brought the children of Israel to the promised land. Yehoshua, Joshua, is now about to bring them into it. To the expectant Israelites, the land of Canaan promised tranquility, treasure, and triumph. Tranquility, for had not God promised through his servant Moses, "And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid"? Treasure, for again God had declared, "And your thrashing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread until ye have enough, and dwell in your land safely." Triumph, because God had assured Israel, "Ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword." But, my friends, Israel could only possess his possessions through faith in the divine promiser, a faith in the promiser, the quality of which would issue in obedience to the divine will and instruction, a faith in the promiser, the quality of which would extend, if necessary, beyond the limitations imposed by mere human reason or logic. Such a faith was really neither unreasonable nor illogical, because it reasonably and logically reposed in the person and promises of the promiser, the eternal God of Israel. Contrast the book of Yehoshua, Joshua, with, for instance, Bamidbar, the book of Moses known as Numbers. Bamidbar testifies to the unfruitfulness of unbelief. Yehoshua testifies to the fruitfulness of faith. Bamidbar recounts frustration, failure, futility. Yehoshua recounts aim, action, achievement. Let this abiding principle of faith be ever before us as we follow the movements of the chosen people. Come, let us first spy out the book of Joshua, even as he first spied out the promised land. Our chronological carpet of conquest is 24 chapters in length, covering, as I said, a period of 25 years. In it, we behold three major patterns depicting the children of Israel under Joshua, first, penetrating the province, chapters 1 to 5, secondly, paralyzing the populace, chapters 6 to 12, thirdly, possessing the patrimony, chapters 13 to 24. Have you ever listened with absorbing interest to a friend's recital of a railroad timetable? Well, it is not a very interesting or arresting procedure, unless you want to catch the train. What a difference that makes, doesn't it? Every chronological itemization increases its crescendo of interest until the climax is reached in the announcement of the train you must catch to carry you to your destination. I assure you, I have not digressed from the theme of this message, nor do I infer for a moment that Joshua took the children of Israel into the promised land by railroad. All I wanted to do was to give you a grasp of the entire contents of the book of Joshua by itemizing those contents section by section. Because I believe you will want to catch the train of thought that will bring you to the destination of the spiritual treasures of the divine record, I will indeed venture upon such an itemization. Our first section discloses Israel penetrating the promised province against highly agitated enemies. The five chapters comprising this section reveal: 1. The mandate of God. 2. The mission of the spies. 3. The miracle of Jordan. 4. The memorials in and over Jordan. 5. The manifestation of Tzfar Adonai. We too are going to penetrate this province in succeeding messages, and we hope it will also be to the agitation of human speculative theories at present strongly entrenched in the promised land of Israel's spiritual heritage today. I am confident you will discover beyond doubt that the history of Israel in those days of Canaan conquest is typical of priceless spiritual verities of immediate and immense value to us even in this generation. The second section, which I have designated Paralyzing the Populace, extends from chapter 6 through chapter 12. Here are the headlines, as our news commentators are prone to say. 6. Destruction of Jericho. 7. Defeat by Ai. Detection of Achan. 8. Defeat of Ai. Demonstration on Ebal and Gerizim. 9. Deception by the Gibeonites. 10-12. Defeat of kings. Detail of 31 victories. Believe me, there are rich and unexpected treasures in every one of these chapters, and I do hope you will be there when they are unearthed in these messages. The last section, which I have entitled Possessing the Patrimony, runs from chapter 13 to the end of the book, and may be itemized as follows. 13-21, distribution of land and cities. 22, dispute over altar away from Shiloh. 23-24, discourses and death of Yehoshua. Having now firmly planted our feet in the book, in necessary preparation for our assimilation of its important contents, let us also plant our feet on the ground where Joshua stood, and let us survey the scene as an interesting preparation for our participation in the conquest of Canaan. We stand in a rich and fertile plain, bearing a title filled with allurement, and which will yield us no disappointment as we venture into the area it designates. The name Abel Shittim means the moist place of acacia trees. The prospect of moisture and trees will impress itself the more when it is realized that we stand with Joshua not very far away from the lowest depression in the world. For the Dead Sea is about 1,275 feet below the sea level of the Mediterranean. Jericho, from our present viewpoint, just about 8 miles westward across the River Jordan, usually swelters in tropical heat. Moisture and trees were indeed features to be desired. But the plain of Shittim was also a place of rare beauty. Eastward, the mountains of Moab adorned the horizon with a blue tint, the depth and richness of which I have only seen equaled in the Blue Mountains in Australia. Watered by many little streams and rivulets, Abel Shittim spreads out a carpet of wild flowers dazzling to behold, whilst the perfume oleanders bend their flower-laden boughs caressingly over the carpeted blooms, and birds in abundance blend their songs and brilliant plumage in a scene where indeed every prospect pleases. It is from this delightful vantage ground that we will follow Joshua across the Jordan into the promised land. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panovelecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panovelecha v'yaseim lecha Shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.